while I pray, and then you can be seated. Right. Father, I come to you as humbly as I know how, by the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word. Hallelujah. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the awesome price that was paid, Lord, for the debt and the blood that was spilled. Father, you've given me access to come in, even a basic man, crackhead, Father, a sinner, Lord. But Lord, you've set me free, Lord God, and you've given me free access unto you. And Father, we stand here in this audience, Lord, and there's souls, Lord, that are saying, give me a word. Hallelujah. And Father, that which you showed me when you woke me up, Lord, that which you gave me for this congregation, I trust that you prepared the ears. Lord, I trust that the hearts are open, Lord. I trust that the sound system is going right where it's supposed to go, supernaturally crossing walls, Father God. And Father, somebody, hallelujah, if not in this room, will pass it on to someone out of the room, Lord, that they may get set free. Touch hearts in this room right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And chapter 4, verse 1, it says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And let's stop right there. We're going to read a series of scriptures today. But what the Lord wants to point out, and I'm taking you somewhere, church, as the brother said, with the food. I like that analogy. Amen. Amen. Sometimes, you know, that road from Galilee, hallelujah, or actually from Judea to Galilee was a very common road. Amen. It was a road taken daily by scores of people. Amen. That's a picture of you, body of Christ. That's a picture of you. Amen. And it's also a picture of the Lord, because you're going to see Jesus doing something. But how many of you know that sometimes on our day-to-day going to church, amen, coming in and sitting in this pew, amen, how many of you know that the Holy Spirit is about to do something, amen? How many know there's a suddenly, amen, that something's about to happen? And we're going to find out today it's because there's a lost and dying world out there crying, amen? But you may be going through your motions, and you may be saying, there's got to be more to what I'm doing, amen, than just going to church. You may know people and have loved ones that have gone to church so much that you're straight religious, amen, that all they've done is gone to church, and they're good people. But how many of you know if there's no life, amen, goodness can't bring you to godness, amen? But so they're just doing a daily routine event, walking, amen, and going from Judea to Galilee. Verse 4 says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Oh, hallelujah. It says he must needs go through Samaria. And, you know, the Lord began to show me in there where it says he must. How many know that's just like the Bible says, for God so loved the world, amen? And you know that it would have been awesome if it just said, God loved the world. Hallelujah. I'd have been shouting at it as it was, because I needed him so bad. But you know, it said he so loved the world. That means he loves you. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice, and maybe you've had some setbacks, and maybe because of sometimes with church folk, we have to hide things, because I don't want to be the one that's lacking in faith at times. But I'm here to tell you, you and your situation today, Jesus loves you, amen? And Jesus loves that lost and dying world out there. And because of that need and because of that love, he says, I need to go through Samaria. Hallelujah. He said, I need to go through Samaria. Let me stop her. The Holy Spirit is pushing me there. Hallelujah. We've got so many people that just preach this gospel. And don't get me wrong, I'm not the best preacher, but I do preach the best gospel, amen? Because there's only one gospel that produces, amen? But I'm here to tell you, there's lots of preachers, especially in the black community, amen? Everybody wants a pulpit or a street corner. But let me tell you, there's something special about an individual that wants to go out into the lost, amen? And God, I believe, has called this church to go out into the lost, amen? God, I love the name Setting Free Ministries, amen? There is a apostolic anointing, amen? There is an anointing on this unity here to go out here and reach those which are dying. Amen. It's not going to be good enough to just have 5 to 10 people. Amen. There's people out here crying. And what the Holy Spirit showed me is that the cries of the people are touching you. Amen. That the cries of the drug addict are touching you. The cries of the prostitutes are touching you. Amen. The cries of the people that are lost in false doctrine, if we're ever going to go, are going to also touch you. So don't be shocked if you're going through your natural road, amen, Center Free Church, and all of a sudden, man, I'm over here, amen, while I'm over here on the street corner, man, we're throwing the tent up, amen. The Holy Spirit says, I need you to go through Samaria, hallelujah. I need you to go through Samaria, hallelujah. We're going somewhere, church, hallelujah. And he must need go through Samaria, verse 5. Then comes he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat there on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Now this about Jacob's well, the Lord began to show me. I looked at the Samaritan. What is the Samaritan? The Samaritan is a physical half-breed. Amen. But you know what? They're also a spiritual half-breed. That tells us that's a type. I mean, it's screaming typology. Hey, look at something else. Amen. The spiritual half-breed part was the Jews, we know that salvation came to the Jew first, and it's going to come as we go forward. We know that it was all done through the sacrificial system. How many of you know this message of the cross ain't nothing new? Hallelujah. It started in Genesis when he killed actually before the foundation of the world, the lamb was already slain, glory to God. But when he even killed that animal and said, I'm covering you with this. And he took off the religious part of him, which was the fig leaf, man's attempt to cover himself. Amen. The message of the cross was already there, and the Jews was given that. But what the Samaritan was, why there was so much animosity, and partially rightfully so, was because they had perverted that which was given from God. How many of you know that's happening today? Amen. And what the Samaritan was one that, like today, the Lord gave me an example. We have draft dodgers. Say there was a draft, and rather than obeying the law of the land, get your butt up, young man, go sign up and enlist, you go flee to some other place. Rather than do the sacrificial system, keep the Sabbath, do it the way God had it instilled, they would go run to Samaria. Amen. And there was also a foundation of Babylonian worship. Amen. And this Babylonian worship, oh, they have many gods. It actually goes back to, they were part Assyrian. Thank you. That's why I got a good wife. Amen. They were part Assyrian and part Jewish. So we understand why the animosity was there. It's no different than those of us that love this message of the cross. Sometimes there's a tendency to say, man, those they on that old Rick Warren stuff, man. I ain't going over there. And you know what? I don't want to sit nowhere where the true gospel is not being preached. Amen. I can understand the Jews' animosity. I can understand why do I want to sit there and listen to something that we know is going to take you away from the truth that was given to us. Amen. That's where the animosity came. But how many of you know, even though sometimes there's a call to go back into Samaria, amen, even though they're stuck over there, I'm going to tell you why, because it's not producing, because they're about to blow their brains out, amen, and they thought that if I could just speak it enough times, I was going to get it. They thought that if I could just sow enough money into the bucket, I was going to get my daughter set free, and it never happened, amen. There's a Samaritan out there that's hungry for the Lord, amen, and God's saying you must needs go through Samaria, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, he sat there on the well. But the part of Jacob's well is because this is, I want you to understand why the Samaritan, or why the person who's a part Christian, but part false doctrine, why they're the way they are. Because it's so easy to be judgmental, church. It's so easy to be judgmental. But you know, a lot of this is institutionalized. I know people that were born in church, born. Just like my son's going to be, we got him at 4 months old. The Lord gave us, we was able to adopt, praise the Lord. And that's mine, amen. But you know, even though he got it at 4, he's going to know nothing but this. And how, I mean, how must it feel to know nothing but false doctrine your whole life? My mama was a this, and my daddy was a this, and my grandmama was a this and that. Amen. That's why they alluded to Jacob's well. And then the lady's going to go there. They've got these historical monuments that they're holding to. How many know the deacon board may be the thing, or they put so much money in this church? Amen. It's going to take power to get to break through that. Amen. It's going to take a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 7. There comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Woo! My goodness, the title of my message is The Master is Thirsty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, give me to drink. Hallelujah. Give me to drink. And I'm proposing to you something, church. How do you quench the master's thirst? Is when you drink. Hallelujah. When you drink of him, it's the only thing that's going to quench it. And he said, give me to drink. Amen. Give me to drink. And he's going to show her how. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's go to verse 8. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Let me tell you something. There's areas we're going to go that, amen, with this message of the cross that they said you'd never go, amen. There's some people steeped in Rick Warrenism that you're going to bring them out, amen. There's some people steeped in psychological Christianity, you're going to bring them out, amen. There's some people steeped in Islam and voodoo, amen. How many of you know, church, it's something to get excited about. You're going to bring them out, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's going to cause you to be able to go in there.
Hallelujah.
But I do want to balance this thing. The Holy Spirit sent him in there. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit sent him in. I need. And how many of you know, keep that open, talk to the Lord. He'll tug on your heart. Amen. Church, we're too late in the hour to stop the flow of the Spirit. Amen. It's too late in the hour to stop the connection. There's people dying. If I could say anything and hear my heart, there are people dying. I've got friends. I like the part of the song where the brother was playing, and he said, my friends don't treat me like they used to. Amen. How many of you know, people wonder, Brother Mahar, why are you so picky? Why are you so, it's got to be like this and like that. Let me tell you, it's too late in the hour. I was the one sitting in the pew. Amen. I was the one. And I know there's people that's about to beat their wives. I know there's people about to molest their child. I know there's people that's about to kill themselves because they can't pay the bills. And we're giving them some mamby-pamby message that don't produce nothing but more death, breeds discouragement. Next thing you know, you give up on God. How many of you know it's a season for the word of the cross to go forth? It's the season for the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to go forth. And that Samaritan sitting there at the well, he's saying, go to the Samaritan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're being released. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
And she said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask of me to drink? Go to verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, for where do you get your living water? Oh, my God. That's where they're at. And I'm going to tell you something. This proves that the master's thirst is to see you get yours. He loves you so much, he's not even prepared to draw nothing. His drawing is to give. Amen. See, the kingdom of God works the opposite of the way we work. If I give, it's given back. If Jesus allows you to open up and get from him, he gets refreshed. How do you know we serve a God that loves us to get this thing? Amen. How do you know we serve a God that is pleased? That's why we clap when souls come forth. Amen. That's why we clap when people say, I'm free. Hallelujah. That's why I get excited when we sing songs that I've changed. Hallelujah. Because I was out there on them streets. Amen. But he brought me back. Glory to God. I can't stop but get excited. Jesus is going to do it again if we let him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Oh, my God, this is good stuff.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
He said, you would have asked me to give you the drink if you would have understood. Hallelujah. Hold on, let me stop. I believe that the reason why certain people get it are because they're setting ducks. And look at how the text opened up. He's doing what he's been doing. You're going to church every Sunday, just being faithful. How many know it's good to be faithful? How many know Paul wrote letters to the faithful church? Amen. The faithful brethren. Amen. That faithful piece, half the church ain't even got that. Hallelujah. So praise God for the faithful few. Amen. But how many of you know to be on your faithful journey, to be called away to a mission, to a group, to a neighborhood, to a street, means somebody's sitting there waiting. Amen. So now let's look at the somebody, this Samaritan. I propose to you that she's been hungry for a long time. I propose to you she's been flipping channels because I was that Samaritan. I'm telling you what I know, not what I've heard. Amen. I'm telling you about me. Hallelujah. I was flipping channels when my wife didn't want to go in to the details of my story. Amen. But let me tell you, we were hurting. We were hurting bad, and I needed a breakthrough. And I was so desperate that I would have fell for the next charlatan saying, plant a seed. And I would have put, it's not so much that I gave the $50 or the $100 or the $200, although that would have been a crime, but even though it's the disappointment that comes afterwards, you ain't getting your freedom because you planted $100. That's not book. That's not book. And there's too much of that going on. But there's people, there's a Samaritan that's a Christian, but they're also half-breeded with this other religion, amen? They're also got this other stuff in the trunk. And I'm here to tell you that if you go ahead and go to them and light up the fire of Christ under them, hallelujah, there's somebody sitting there that's thirsty. There's somebody sitting in there, and I believe she was praying. Allow me to put some conjecture in here. It don't do no damage to the truth. I bet you there was a group of them, amen? I bet you there was a group meeting. Hallelujah, they said, there's got to be something else other than this. There's got to be other than this Samaritan religion we're into. And you're going to see it as it unfolds. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Are you greater, verse 12, than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall never thirst again. Amen. And let's stop right there. Are you greater than this? And here's what happens. Sometimes they're so stuck on the deacon board. Sometimes they're so stuck on the monuments. Because this is institutionalized religion. Amen. Religion wraps itself around generations. The demon is so big and fat. Amen. Don't think you could just come in without the appointment and the anointment of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But let me tell you, we've been commissioned already. Glory to God. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, and you hold to Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, let me tell you, you've been anointed and you've been appointed. And you can speak to them. And when they try to detour you and say, well, what about the church of the chosen frozen? You can say, look, he's greater. Hallelujah. What about my psychologist that I go to? He's greater than your psychologist. What about my 12-step program? He's greater than the 12 steps. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, as Pastor says, there's one step. Hallelujah. Repent. Glory to God. And I'm here to tell you that he's greater. Hallelujah. He is greater.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
But the focus of that Samaritan, the focus of the Christian that's also dabbling or is knee-deep in false doctrine is hungry and thirsting. And their focus sometimes is on mama's church. I was born in this. I remember years ago, I used to laugh about it, but it's really sad. We asked a brother, so what are you, you're Christian? No, I'm a Baptist. So what does that got to do with anything? But sometimes we hold to these traditions, amen?
Amen.
And the tradition, he's greater than all that. Glory to God, and we're going to speak it. Glory to God. Let's go to 14.
Hallelujah.
But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Boy, the Lord stopped me there. He said, son, I said never. And I just began to have, I wanted to cry. Because how many of you know, church, we do thirst.
Amen.
Amen. I'm keeping it all the way 100, as we say. Keep it real with you. We do thirst. But he said, you don't got to thirst. What is that talking about? You know, there's a difference between justification and sanctification.
Amen.
And thank God that most of the church does get you justified, I'm sorry. Most, and some ain't even doing that. It's pitiful to even call yourself listed as a church when you can't even point somebody to the atonement to even get in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
But how many of you know that same river we drink from to get in is the same river we stay in with? And when he told that Samaritan that, because they called themselves believers, they called themselves part of the promise. They had the same patriarchs of the old, but they had something else going on. And that other part is why you can't be free, and you're going to understand it as we go forward. The other part is why there's no true deliverance, and that's why we thirst again. Why? Because it's a fight of faith, as my wife said. It's about faith, and sometimes faith wavers, and we thank God that we've got a God that understands our human frailty. But how many of you know that once we repent and we come to a church like Setting Free Church, we get a chance to get it right back where it belongs? Amen. How many of you know if we got loved ones in our life and husbands and wives that preach this cross, we can come home and they say, get it right, son. Get it right, husband. It's back at the cross. How many of you know we stay connected to people of like precious faith? Because sometimes we get out there, we get whipped a little bit, but I can call up this pastor here. He'd say, son, it's at the cross, brother. And that thirst begins to come, that it gets quenched again. Amen. Because I'm drawing from the same stream that I started from. Amen. That's why he said you'll never thirst again. Even though we do thirst sometimes. Because there's only one way. There's only one thing. Ain't three. Ain't two. It's Christ and what he did on the cross. Verse 15. And the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water. My God. Who would refuse what we just presented here? Who would refuse it? And I'm here to tell you, church, they're not going to refuse it when we go. Amen. They're not. Oh, my God, this area is in trouble. Amen. Satan is in trouble. Hallelujah. Because we've got the message. We've got the right appointment. Amen. We've got the right thing to proclaim.
Hallelujah.
But he said, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, go ye and call your husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have five husbands. And he whom you now have is not your husband, in that said is truly. Amen. Boy, that's a clumsy King James verse. But let me tell you this. Back to where she started. Oh, this is good. The well. Let me tell you what that well is. How many of you know the well is a type of where we place our faith? That's why she said that I don't have to come back here again. I want you to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. When you take a bucket and put it down in there, you trust that when you pull that bucket up, you got water. Kind of like when you sit in this chair, you know it's going to hold you. We just do it. Routine. Amen. And also the piece that you can't see that speaks of the hidden. That's the spirit realm. How many of you know it's the same as your prayer life and where you place your faith? How many of you in the morning don't want to wring your boss's neck? You say, Lord, I thank you. This is a great day today. Full of blessings. Glory to God. And you trust that good things are going to start popping, amen? And they do, praise God. But how do you know this is a type of where you're trusting? How do you know that well is a picture of the human heart, hallelujah, the human spirit and the spirit realm, and he's challenging her for where you're placing your faith. Now she said, I've got five, he said you got five husbands. Now I've read before I've preached this message, I said, let me check several different versions of where people have made it, said. I think sometimes the Holy Spirit leaves things vague on purpose. You know, and any interpretation of it did no damage to Scripture. It did no damage to the message of salvation. But I want to tell you what I believe, and what I believe is true. I kind of agree with Brother Swaggart on this one. First of all, when the Holy Spirit gives you a word of knowledge, it's not like we do in most Pentecostal worlds. Brother, you got 10 dimes in your pocket. Wow, I do. Ooh, you're deep. When the word of knowledge comes, it's not to try to peel your wig back and blow your mind. The word of knowledge comes to set you free. Amen. The word of knowledge comes to point out where you're doing something in error so that you can get the deliverance that you need. That's all it's about. He ain't trying to be a sideshow Bob here, okay? So when Jesus told the woman, you've got five husbands, how many of you know that they had five gods that they worshiped? Amen. And how many of you know, if we go over to Romans, that if you believe right, you're going to act right. Glory to God. So the sin she was probably shacking up, amen, because the one you're living with is not your husband. Amen. We major on the minors in the regular world. Bring it in, Mahari. Here's what I'm saying. For so long, we preach, quit lying, quit cheating, and quit stealing. And amen, we don't believe lying, cheating, and stealing is right. But how many know that lying, cheating, and stealing is proof positive of a deeper problem? Amen, that there's a problem in the heart, hallelujah, that there's a problem that your faith is not placed where it's supposed to be. How many of you know that Paul said that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death, that if I keep my faith where it's supposed to be, I'm free from the bondage of sin. Somebody give me an amen. So how many of you know that when he told her, your problem is in five husbands you got, she said, I'm not even married. I don't think she was married. I think he spoke to the root of the problem. And how many of you know when we talk to these Samaritans out here, we're going to tell them you're trusting in psychology, amen? You're trusting in too much 12 steps. We got churches with 12 steps in the basement. That's a slap in the face. That's a slap in the face. We're the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We claim to have power to lay hands and set you free, but I'm going to employ some natural means and put it in the basement called a ministry? How many of you know we're going to be able to speak to it? Say you're a Samaritan at that point. I didn't say you weren't a Christian, but you need to drop that God that you're bowing to every day. You need to drop that God of psychology, amen, and you will stop smoking crack, amen, because he'll give you a heart change. He'll change the heart inside. Does somebody understand what I'm saying? Amen? He said you got to stop them five husbands that you got. That's he went in the spirit, I believe, amen. Amen. That's why she had the husband, the man that she wasn't living with, that she was living with that she wasn't supposed to. She couldn't live right if she tried. Because the sin nature is going to always bind you up until faith is put in the right object. It's not enough to be justified. You got to be sanctified. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 19. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Oh, I love this verse. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Oh, I love this part. Oh, I love this part. The false worship they had, they even made their own temple, made their own altar. It was a lookalike of what was going down in Jerusalem. How many of you know there is significance of Jerusalem? How many know when the new heavens and the new earth, we're going to have the new Jerusalem? Hallelujah. Amen. The throne of David. Hallelujah. Jerusalem was the headquarters on earth from which truth was supposed to go out to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And they held it. It's in Jerusalem, but how many of you know Jerusalem was off too? Hallelujah. But she had a Mount Gerizim that she could point to because it was probably about 50 miles away. So get the picture. She's saying, and this is where they're at. I perceive you're a prophet. And that word prophet, she's actually saying Messiah. I'm telling you, church, they're looking for the answer. There's somebody sitting somewhere that says, for her to even say, I think you're the prophet, she's basically saying, I've been looking for him. I tell you, I think there was a group of people sitting around like we may have little committees that watch TV looking for an answer, passing truth around. How many know it's going underground? Hallelujah. How many know there was a, just like the Underground Railroad, they snuck and did it. How many know the cross has been underground, but it's about to come overground? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. But this woman said, I believe you're the prophet. You are a prophet. She's basically saying Messiah. I believe you're Messiah. I've been hungering for something like this. That's what brought him over in the first place. That's what made him take a beeline. When I thought I was going to Judea, something pulled me over here. There's somebody hungry for me. Amen. There's somebody that's been dying for this. Amen. There's somebody that's going to understand that Messiah is here. Because they were looking for the Messiah just like the Jews were. Hallelujah. And she said, I perceive you're a prophet. But here's the problem. Back to the institutionalized religion. But you worship at Jerusalem. You're telling me it's the cross. You're speaking of that cross stuff. But we do it over there. How many of you know I've been a Baptist for 20 years? I've been a Lutheran for 16 years. I go to AA every Sunday. I get that all the time. Talk to guys and say, man, you're free now. How do you do it? Brother, I trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to church with me. Oh, I go to AA meeting on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? And don't let your AA meeting stop you from getting this. Amen. Don't let your institution of religion stop you from getting this. Don't point to Mount Gerizim, because what Jesus said, the day is coming, it's soon coming. Hallelujah. That I'm about to change the game on all of y'all. Hallelujah. That which they're doing over there is going to be done away with. That which you're doing up there is wrong, and it's no good anymore anyway, because it's all going to Calvary. Hallelujah. That's the mountain. Hallelujah. It's not that mountain. It's not that mountain. It's Calvary, glory to God, where he will set everybody free. Give Jesus a big hand. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He pointed to the cross. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He said it's at the cross.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Verse 22. You worship. You know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Basically what I told you. You're off. We're on. But the hour comes. And now is. Oh, church, now is. Get this word. When the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I've heard all kind of spooky translations on this. Ooh, God is a spirit. Ooh. Let me tell you something. It put it in context. It comes through the cross. You want to worship him in spirit and truth, bow down to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to worship God, come to the new system that was put in place, which was really the fulfillment of the old. Hallelujah. That's what he's pointing to. He's pointing to what he was going to do on the cross, Calvary. He's tied it all up. Anything else is false. Hallelujah. Anything else won't get you what you need, Samaritan. Hallelujah. It takes us back to Romans 8. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of the spirit of death, sin and death. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, if I place faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary, the corresponding result is grace. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost. Amen. Pentecostals, we have act like we've patented the movement of the Holy Spirit, and most of it is false. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, it's so simple. One thing I will give the recovery circle, they got a term called KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Amen. We ain't got to complicate this thing. Place your faith at the cross. Hallelujah. Stuff's going to flow. Amen. The Holy Ghost is dying to get into you. He's thirsting for you. He said, I need to go to Samaria. He knows you're going to see he's the Messiah if we just speak it. Hallelujah. And talk to him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Verse 25, the woman said unto him, I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Go ahead and preach, son. Jesus said unto her, I who speak unto you am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with this woman. Yet no man says, what do you seek, or why do you talk with her? Stop right there. She knew he was the Messiah, and I asked the Lord about, you know, why this went down the way it is. But you know what? I believe the reason, I've had so many, because I do love souls, brother, and I've had so many people in religion, because I just won't give up on them. Because I know where I was. I was looking, I was in every circle there was, brother. Everything coming down the pipeline, I tasted it and thought it was good, but it never produced, amen. And she got a clear understanding immediately. And you know what? It's in proportion to how willing you're willing to give up and say you're wrong. And I met so many people that say, amen, brother. Oh, yeah, it's the cross. Oh, yeah, it's the cross. But are you willing to give up Mount Gerizim? Are you willing to give up where mom went to church? Are you willing to give up the deacon board? Are you willing to realize that he's greater than the well? Amen. Are you willing to separate from the institution that brought you where you're at? And because of the hunger, and see, God is setting this stage, thank you, Holy Spirit, because of where society is right now, they're hungry. The economy's let them down. Politicians have let them down. Jobs are closing. They're given to these pulpit preachers that are bribing them and are ripping them off, and it's not producing. Amen. The stage is set. There's somebody in Samaria. All we got to do is be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and go on over there and speak the word and watch the fruit come up. Amen. Watch it.
Hallelujah.
Mark my words on it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Verse 28, ooh, where am I? Verse 28, the woman then left her water pots, glory to God, and went her way into the city and said to the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Don't tell me she wasn't looking for the Messiah, a Samaritan. Don't tell me that there's some people that's stuck on Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Meyer, that ain't looking for something greater than the false sense of sanctification that they're getting. Don't tell me that there's somebody that's listening to Rick Warren out, got his license plates and bumper stickers, that can't be told that it's at the cross and they'll come out. Don't tell me, because they're hungry. The stage is set. Hallelujah. Amen. The stage is set. Hallelujah. And she said, see a man which told me. This was the first woman preacher. Hallelujah. Even before, actually, the first preacher to the Gentiles, Brother Swagger said, even before Paul, amen. Don't tell me a woman can't preach this gospel. She told some people and they came back too. That old man, she was on fire for God. Let me tell you, there's a Samaritan out there that's going to be on fire for God. We just got to give him the word. Glory to God. Verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him in the meat while the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop right there. I just want to say this. It, sometimes the abundance of words doesn't really convey perfectly what the Holy Spirit is saying. And I pray that the Holy Spirit has shined a light, hallelujah. But I know when he gave me this message that he brought me to the right place. I knew it. I knew it clearer than probably most messages that I've preached. I've had more confirmation than a little bit.
Hallelujah.
So church, it's no coincidence that you're under the sound of my voice right now, amen. And what I want you to do, if you just bow your heads in an attitude of prayer to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Just begin to focus on the Lord. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We magnify you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that at the cross, everything is stabilized. There's nobody great and there's nobody small. You're the master. It's your mountain, Lord. There's nothing that we've done or created. And Father, we thank you for a house of fellowship that cherishes what you're doing. And Father, I thank you for these people, Father God, that deserve more than just a bunch of emotion and a waste of time. Lord, you was thinking of them when you said to the faithful church, the faithful brethren, Father, bless these people. But if you're under the sound of my voice, by the lifting of your hand, if the message that was given today spoke to you, it doesn't mean that you are the Samaritan, because I really believe with the faithful, we're not knee-deep and steeped in religion. But how many of you know there's a type of a Samaritan in us all? Amen. How many of you know we all have a part of Samaria in us? And the reason being, law has wrapped itself around us for so many years. So many years we've all come out of something. There's two salvations the believer goes through. One is to come out of darkness into life. Then you got to come out of religion, amen? We've all come out of Samaria. But how many know there's parts of our heart that still thirst, because our faith still has to be adjusted? If that speaks to you today, just with the waving of your hand, Lord, we thank you, Lord. If you would stand to your feet, church, before I pass this back over to you. If you can stand, if you can, it's okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say this after me. Say, Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for fixing this salvation to where I can't lose. You've made the cross the biggest thing in my life. Bigger than everything I came out of. And bigger than anything I could get into. Therefore, I see it. Bigger than anything. And I place my faith exclusively in what you did. No more trust in anything else to satisfy little voids that I have. I trust you completely. Now send me, Lord, as we evangelize this area. Send the lost. Send the religious. Send the Samaritan. And right now, just pray in your own way for the lost right now. The anointing is here. Your prayer will go farther than it usually does because the anointing is here. Amen. Sometimes we pray and it seems like we hit the walls. But how many of you know right now the Holy Ghost will take that? Let's intercede right now. Lord, we thank you for this area, Lord. Lord, we thank you for these people out here, Lord. Lord, whether you bring them, Lord. Lord, if somebody's suffering right now, Lord, bring them in, Lord God. Send them, Lord. Lord, you're not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance, Lord. Now, by your Spirit, Lord, touch them, Lord. Those that are hungry and are waiting for the truth. Send laborers, Lord. Let them be up. Send us, Lord. Right now. Right now. In the name of Jesus, that we give you the glory.
Fred, look. Let's give God a hand, praise. Lord Jesus.
Good word, good word, good word.